Hello and welcome to a surprise Mediva episode, which hasn't been publicised or even known of until this moment, where I talk to Fiona Thrale about all things exciting at Pod UK 2020. Hello, Fiona!
Yay. Hello, Sarah.
Are you recovered?
Have you recovered?
Yeah, but just about. I must say I've been thrown into the deep end with various other life extravagant fun times. So yes, I think today is the first day I can breathe again. How about you?
Excellent. Yes, I've spent the whole week recovering and I'm now just about getting there, thank you.
Hooray! Yes. You party animal, you.
Oh, yes.
It did feel like a lovely party, really, didn't it, to be honest? It had that happy vibe of mingling and chatting, followed by some nice beer.
Yes, it was. It was a very, good community atmosphere there, and it was lovely, yes. Wasn't it, just to talk to people. I mean, obviously talk to friends like you and other people and get inspiration about what we're all doing and what we're working on.
Yes, face to face.
Yeah, face to face. And also, but to meet other people that you'd heard of or you've seen their Twitter handles about, but you hadn't actually, yeah, met them face to face and to hear about what they're up to. It was brilliant.
Yeah, I wanted there to be more hours in the day of doing that, though. I felt, I must say, we got a table for Quirky Voices and Dashing Onions. We threw that together and I just felt like I don't want to do that next time because I felt kind of restricted to going back there, which we weren't there as much as we could have been because we were rehearsing for the Dashing Onions show. And so, yeah, I don't know. I felt that some of my socialising perhaps was restricted because I ended up in that spot. I don't know how you felt about that.
Yeah, I think we need to say a very big thank you to Robert Crichton, who did actually man the stall while we were away, which was very kind of him.
It's an angel.
Yes.
An angel in human man form. Yes, thank you so much, Robert. That was beautifully kind of you because, yeah, we didn't really think that through, did we? So my first top tip would be, I think, if you are performing, don't get a table as well because you can't be everywhere.
Or get in touch with Robert Crichton of Beyond Shakespeare Company. And he'll be very, very kind.
Man of many talents in a sailor hat as well.
Oh, yes, of course. He volunteered there as well. Brilliant. And was helping in setting
he
up.
Was.
So, yeah, fantastic guy. Thank you.
You're a wonderful person to have along, to be honest.
Yeah. No, I agree with you that it is kind of, yeah, if you're performing or you're doing panels and things like that, it's kind of hard because you're sat there at a table, obviously, with other people that you also want to see around in all the other tables, so you can take it in turns. It's good, I think, if you're getting a table, get one with other people like we did, and then that does help to sort of share out. But actually, yes. I have to say, I did actually quite like having it from the viewpoint of it's quite intense when you're in there and suddenly there's loads of people around that you kind of half know, that you want to catch up with. And it's quite full on. And if you have any kind of, you know, even mild social anxiety, the fact that you have a table there, you can say, hey, this is my show, you know, or hi. And, you know, it's a reason for being there.
Yes.
I think if I'd been there without a table to hide under at times, it would have been a little bit harder in many ways to just go up to people, you know.
Yeah,
it
no,
felt
fair
like
enough.
There was a home base.
Sure.
So I think, yeah, it's a bit of a 50-50. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll just wear a table on my head next time and just lift it up like a tortoise.
I'm wondering what kind of tablecloth you'd have alongside that. Probably something crocheted.
Yes, with doilies.
But yeah, no, absolutely. I think because of how my brain works, and if you listen to anything I do, you kind of know that I'm in 100 places at once and find it very hard to stay in one.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was. It wasn't FOMO at all, and it was just wanting to be everywhere. WTBE. What be? Yeah, and just I felt that I didn't do enough at the table. Do you know what I mean? I think it's brilliant and I loved it. And I think if I wasn't doing the other things, and also wanting to go and see so much because the stuff that was on was amazing. It absolutely is a brilliant idea, and I've kind of come in with that as a negative sounding thing, but it's just meant to be how I felt about that. But yeah, I agree.
No, I totally get it. Because we did it, I mean, I think probably saw about a tenth of what was going on.
I know.
Really? Because I missed so many workshops and only really saw one other live show because of rehearsing and because of being on the table and stuff. And so, yeah, it's joy in a way is also a negative side because there is so much going on all at the same time that you'd really love to go and see and participate in and so on, and it just isn't possible. I mean, it really needs to be about a week long.
Just get on it.
Be possible.
But yeah, I think from the first part of the day, which was essentially getting into the place and setting up our table, everyone was joyous. It was so exciting. I mean, I was so busy talking to other people, I didn't even realise that Hedley and Beth from We Fix Space Junk were behind us, and the wonderful Prick Willow, Maddie, and Y2K Karen and Seren Neris were next to us until like 20 minutes had passed, which is quite bonkers. Yes. But
it was wonderful. Mm. It was so, so nice to see so many people there. And yeah, I agree. It was quite overwhelming, but in a good way, in a really wonderful way.
I'd like to use the word thronging, if that's allowed. I just think from the outset, the atmosphere was awesome. And if you haven't been, it's basically a massive space, an open kind of receiving area, I suppose, rather than a specific room that all these tables were in. And it was run beautifully smoothly by all the amazing volunteers that rocked up on the day to help, including I think half of Jess's family and pals. So yeah, and yes. I think at this point you have to say massive thanks to Jess Anson, Brett Maskell Watts, and Chris, I'm going to get your name wrong, Chris Malawani. I don't know if that's right. Yeah. But I think all of them, as well as the key folks that they had around the venue, were just wondrous and smiley all day.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. It was fantastic. It was so smooth running, kind of running in the background. Everyone was just there getting into the right places at the right time. Everything was beautifully set up, which I guess is the sign of something being incredibly professionally run, that you don't actually notice it's being run, if you know what I mean.
Yes. Yeah. You know, absolutely. And so yeah, it was cool to see what was on other folks' tables, and I wish I could have had and spent more time going around talking to people. I only really managed that towards the end of the day, just because of the madness and the fun of the morning. did you manage to go around the promenade and speak to folks too?
I did, not as many as I wanted to, but the incredible thing was Nicole Goodnight had come all the way from the USA to be there just for Pod UK, which was incredible. Meeting up with her and with the No Sleep team, of course.
Yes, because you were in Pixie with her, weren't you? Which is a wonderful Rick Coast show. If you haven't listened to, oh my goodness, you have a treat in store. Go find it, Rick Coast.
Yes, Pixie. Oh, it was wonderful. I couldn't believe my eyes when she was there. It was brilliant to see her. Sleep obviously had come from their tour of Europe this time, and literally with No Sleep.
Guess we were lucky enough to work with David later, and he was beautifully compass mentis, so good work there.
He was. Lots of coffee or something maybe.
But yeah, I'm just gonna whiz through the names of the folks who are on the podcast promenade. So kudos to you folks. It's the Amelia Project, Flintlocks and Firebolt, Head Stuff Podcast Network, She Done It, The Listener, People's Polygraph, Gamma Radio, KGFM, Boom Makes Things, Hooray, The Imzorium, The Nerdy Queer, No Sleep, The Other 1%, Prick Willow Papers, Siren Arrival, Dashing Onions Audio, Y2K, What Am I Rolling, Power Word Roll, Boundless Theatre, The Other Stories, The Podcast Host, A Gottish Podcast, Hooray!
Quite sweary.
Comic Met cast, flying in the face of fate. They were lovely. That's very sweary. One star for Scottish podcast. Birmingham Community Healthcare NHS Charity and King Falls AM. I mean, that's a wondrous array of folks to go and just have a chat to, isn't it, in your own time?
And Quirky Voices was there too.
Oh, yeah. With Dashing Onions.
Don't forget that.
Did I say that?
Yes,
I don't even know. But yeah, what a...
No, you didn't even
but
say
yeah. But yeah, no, it was a wondrous array of folks. And yeah, panels-wise, I only got to see in the end the audio drama one just because of how the day panned out, which I tried to live tweet. So if you wanted to fathom very short, sharp summings up of what that was about, go and scroll back and have a little look. I think I tried to tag them in with Pod UK 2020, but there was smoke coming off my phone. I was typing that fast and people did think I was being rude and they thought I was just on my phone and bored, but no, I was actually trying to live tweet what was happening, so I wasn't being rude, I promise.
Yes, no, well done for doing that. That was brilliant. And that was a very good panel, actually. Again, it was great fun. But there were some, that I would have liked to have seen as well that we missed, unfortunately. But maybe next year.
Well, yes, next year's got to happen, hasn't it? It's got to happen if Jess listening. Come on, you got to. You know, it was really wonderful. And I think the advice given there is wonderful. I mean, to have KC in the country just was astoundingly exciting. And unfortunately, due to when Dashingly Quirky was on, it just clashed with all the things that he did. So I didn't get to see him at all, which I'm quite upset about. So he'll just have to come back again too. Actually,
he's got to come back. Yeah, that's and same with King Falls AM.
Falls, man. My abiding memory of them, I have to tell you, is Noah. Mm. When we thought there was no pizza left, there was one slice in a box. Oh, yeah. And he came in and knelt and held it aloft right in front of me. It was a very exciting female moment. And then we found another massive full pizza. So there was a kind of lull in the proceedings. But at that moment, that image is in my head forever. Noah with the pizza box of happiness. So thanks for that. No, but no King Falls.
Special moments like that.
Yeah. King Falls AM are awesome. I mean, they were on the panel. We were just talking about the audio drama panel, some of them, and chipping in along with Alex Newell from Rusty Quill and Maximilian John from all of the things that Definitely Human are doing, and of course Maddie from Prickwillow Papers. Doing it for the ladies in the room. Oh my gosh, where are the women? Come on, women producers, get on with it. and of course, Casey Wayland from We're Alive and Gold Rush and all the things he's been doing with Bronzeville coming out too soon. It's a lovely picture of him and Lawrence Fishburne, wasn't there, on media this week? And hosted by the ever vivaciously lovely Ella Watts, who gave us the best hashtag. Which is, I've just forgotten. What was it? Keep calm and blanket fort, which I thought was wonderful after a discussion about, you know, just make it anywhere you can. And a blanket fort will do with a clothes horse. Do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And she's done absolutely loads for promoting audio drama. And if you look on her Twitter page, she's actually put... There was a flyer that Beth Crane and Hedley Knights of Battlebird Productions and We Fix Space Junk
Legends.
Created of UK audio fiction. And they put a checklist of audio fictions to listen to. I mean, obviously, there's more popping up every day at the moment, which is brilliant. But have a look on Ella's feed and have a look at the checklist and see how many you've listened to and... see if there's any that you want to check out as well.
Do it. I'm nearly there. There's a few there still I haven't listened to, but I'm feeling quite happy that I've listened to a lot of that audio joy. So well done, folks, for making some fun. It's been joyous listening to those. And that's what's wonderful, isn't it? The amount that has come out since the last flyer they did. I think there was 10 on that one, and I think there's at least threefold that now on this one, if not more. So keep it coming, Britain. We need to show our European
other world
creatives that we're
making. Are you listening to
podcasts
I've not heard yet?
Yeah.
Yes. No, so, yeah, no, I'm very excited to see the growth of that. And, yeah, just keep it coming, keep doing.
Absolutely.
So, who did you really enjoy catching up with at this event?
Obviously, it was lovely to catch up with you. And
thanks, likewise.
Yay, and with Maximilian and David Alt and Michael Hudson and his son, who came along brilliantly.
Yes, hooray for James.
Hey,
who's
well
done
James.
Some wonderful music for Madcap, which I keep saying is coming out soon, but it really is.
Yes. And he's superb, and he's hopefully going to follow a music career, and hopefully we'll do more in audio drama, as well as Robert Crichton. Obviously, it was lovely to see him. And there were so many people. I'm going to miss out loads and loads of people. I hate listing. The Amelia folk, they were lovely to see live as well.
Oh, well, that's it. The live show, I only really got to saw the Amelia project in the end, which was glorious in its witty banter.
Enormous fun.
With the lovely Alan and Julia.
Yes.
Emily Stride and Felix Trench opposite each other as a bickering couple. Very Blackadder-esque, I felt, a lot of
it. It was wonderful.
Banter.
And he only made it just through the Channel Tunnel in time as well. So again, it was such a good thing because it was full of loads of UK fiction podcasts that it was celebrating, but also all these people from all over Europe, from the USA as well.
Yes.
Just incredible, really.
Yes. Just amazing. Yeah, lots of the Scottish contingent came down as well. Hooray. And Karen from Scandinavia. Listen to Y2K, people. It's out now for the whole year.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah, there's someone I missed.
Yes.
Obviously. Meeting Matthew and Julie, his wife.
Yes, they're amazing. I had great bants with them to the point where Matthew told me he was hanging out with actual drunk Helen later in the evening, which is not true, and it wasn't that bad. But yeah, I just let's jump into the reason why as well that we more so enjoyed ourselves was we got to share some new live original audio drama, didn't we?
Yes, we did indeed, which was very, very exciting. We'd run a competition, the Dashingly Quirky writing competition, to look for more LGBTQ+ writers and subjects and characters in audio drama.
Yes. And I absolutely adored the two scripts we had as much as, if not actually them in person, more enjoyed the actors who brought it to life. It's a wonderful team we'd managed to assemble to showcase these two pieces. And you mentioned him earlier, Maximilian John. I think, I don't know, can he have some kind of beacon award for being like this huge light of positivity in a crazy world? Every time I speak to him, I feel happier about my world. And
he is wondrous. I am in absolute awe of him, but he's also really lovely and easy to get on with and just the nicest person you could work with.
We were
so lucky
talented.
With the team we had.
Yes. Have you heard Down as well? If you haven't already heard it, Down is out now. It's the new Human Definitely show, and it's just superb. So go enjoy. But yes, and alongside that, you and I managed to sneak ourselves a part in there too, which was immense fun. And also we had in our first script called The Wrong Men by the wonderful Tom Jensen with a J. he created a piece about sort of British spy. It was based on British spies, but perhaps had homosexual overtones of a very broad nature, which the characters were beautifully played by our faves Kareem Cronflee, David Alt, and a newcomer to audio drama, but not to performing in other ways, Nathan Blades. Aren't they gorgeous?
It was really wonderful. It was great fun. And I think it was a very special script because it was very funny.
Yes.
But it did, there were elements that were really genuinely very serious, you know, about the secrecy of men meeting back in a time when homosexuality was illegal.
Yes, set in 1955,
Yeah, it was set in 1955, you know, and so it was kind of marrying that with the idea of meeting as spies at the same time. And so it was very cleverly done. But it, yeah, while being very funny, I felt it really had depth to it as well.
Certainly. And kudos to all of the audience members who I gently conducted, mostly at the right times, to be birds and bees, to create a kind of depth to the soundscape of the park that these chaps were meeting in. So thank you so much to everybody who involved themselves in blowing bits of plastic that didn't quite make the noise we thought they might.
And to Matthew McLean as well, because he came on as the PC volunteer.
There's a legend. I mean, there's basically half the cast of a Scottish podcast up there. We should have done an ep of that as well. but yeah, that was a beautiful surprise when he was picked out. It's like, oh, here we go. Here's trouble. But actually, I don't think I've heard a better Cockney accent by someone that's not English. That is Scottish and obviously loves the Scottishness about himself. That other than superb. Alan Bergen, who does a wonderful British accent that's not Scottish, his native accent. So yeah, I was hugely blown away by watching Matthew, and it made me laugh a lot. He looked beautiful in that hat, and I think he should get one. But yeah, and the second script was by the wonderful PJ Marvel, who it was absolutely brilliant to meet, and I hope she's inspired to write more. I have tried to subtly or not so subtly suggest.
It wasn't very subtle. It was basically pinning her up against the wall, saying, "You will write more." But yes,
because I think there's a lot of legs, as it were, in what she created in that one episode to be sustaining and for it to be great fun throughout. And I know from talking to her, there are lots of fun ideas. So hopefully there might well be some more Bristol fashion being written at some point soon.
I do hope so. She certainly said that she was, because she normally writes prose, and she said that she was sort of interested in audio now. Mm. So I do hope she does find time among her prose writing to write for audio again, because it was superb, and it was a lovely script that we got to
play spar with in a gentle friend way. No, that was really good fun, and folks did comment on how well we might know each other because the rhythm was quite groovy. So that's nice to get that feedback. It wasn't said like that. That's obviously a Sarah way of saying it. But some people said groovy things, so that's nice. And I just want to talk a little bit about the live part of the show, because obviously the whole point of doing this at this particular venue is to try and entice other folks who perhaps didn't know AudioVixen to see another version of how it could be done. And this is kind of a homage style in a very minimal budget way to embrace, you know, all that was the live shows of the early startings of radio theatre, radio drama. Fiona, what do you think?
There are a lot of benefits, I think, from performing audio in person with other actors, because you do get that feeling of actually bouncing the energy from one to another. And so, therefore, the timing is better very often and doesn't have to be done in post-production. But doing it in front of an audience as well is a whole other thing on top. Mm. I was thinking about it quite a bit, actually. At the Audio Drama Festival at Goldsmiths, they played Borderland by Sarah Woods. And that was broadcast, I was going to say on tape, but I think they've moved on from that. It was broadcast as the original broadcast from the radio, so there were no live actors, and it was done with a live audience in the darkness. Mm. And there was a real sense of depth listening to it with other people around you. So you did get an element of that live experience within it from an audience viewpoint. But then you look at shows where there are live actors performing, like the Amelia Project, we fixed Space Junk, Wooden Overcoats, Victoriosity, Oblivity. They are all doing sort of theatricalized audio drama, which sounds just like the podcast. The special effects are recorded and played in front of the audience, but there is that element of the actors looking at the audience, giving certain facial gestures or looking at each other. And again, it brings another dimension to listening for the audience and also for performing for the actors. And then there's another version, which Dashingly Quirky did very recently at the festival in Birmingham. And I've also been lucky enough to be involved with another version, doing some Agatha Christie plays recently. And so it's not just us. In those kind of performances, there is Foley as well, which is part of the performance. There is audience interaction, which is part of the performance. So in a sense, it's like another step in that way. And so that third way is even more performative in a way. It's almost more like theatre. Even though the actors are still standing behind their microphones, there is a lot of interaction and also that audience ownership as well of the material. And it's much more of it's a weird extra kind of almost sub-genre in a way. And it's very, very fun to be involved in. It might not sound quite as, or it definitely doesn't sound quite as dovetailed as a studio performance or indeed as a live performance, which doesn't have all of that, the Foley and stuff. But it also, it is doing things in terms of connecting with the audience and also with the performers as well. It's just a different genre. And I think it is very valuable in its own sense. It has a place alongside the other more polished versions.
Yeah, I love that you say that it is a worthwhile genre to be embraced. I remember someone saying, yeah, but that's not how it's done. And no, it's not. But we're doing our own thing. And this is sort of the dashingly quirky style is a nod to, you know, elements of all origins, I guess, of audio fiction in recorded radio. So part of me likes the theatricalization of that. Part of me likes the absolute mad frenzy of trying to find things around my house and shops that will make crazy sounds. Hurrah for Ellie Maitland, who I spoke to on ADPP and about various other projects, including Fidget, which is part of the 11th Hour horror series. If you haven't heard those, I'll pop a link to that. She does Death Scribe with Wildclaw Theatre in Chicago, and I am going to make it there one day and come and heckle. But I just love the whole live aspect of audio, as well as what I'm doing right now, which is talking in my duvet fort, I suppose, with my slowly growing collection of collated technology. but I do feel that it does have a place, very much so. And yes, it's a lot rawer. It's a lot more raw around the edges. We don't have a chance to practice the Foley really very much at all currently, how things are. I hope to seek funding. So if this is something that you're listening and you think, hey, I'd love to throw some money at some more fun audio projects, new writing coming to life in an audio form, theatrically live, drop us an email at quirkyvoices@gmail.com. And I'd love to talk to you because I think it would be wonderful to get more kind of events like this popping up, not necessarily just with us, but perhaps find funding to find other teams who would like to do this in their hometowns and places of storytelling, loving fun. And I must say, I loved, absolutely loved working as the character in that short script by PJ Marvel. I think me and you, Fiona, we've kind of always had the specific roles we've kind of fallen into when we're talking to each other, but also when we've created the sketches at the beginning of ADPP, when we were doing that, it kind of fell into me being slightly cheeky and you being slightly less cheeky. So when we read the scripts, I just thought, oh God, I love to play that part. I wonder if it's cheeky enough to say whether or not I can just be that, because also that would solve a lot of problems with rehearsing, in as much as I know you very well and I know we can jump on quickly and easily. Because currently, you know, we were doing that on pretty much no budget. I mean, no, nothing. So kudos to everybody involved who worked for a pittance of what they would absolutely normally get. It's basically the cost of a couple of beers, to be honest. They did get some money, but really not very much. So I hope folks that did get to see it enjoyed it. And I do hope that we can do it again. I think I would love to entice more comedy. I would love to entice more folks from a variety of backgrounds, culturally and across the world, to send us some scripts, perhaps, that we can then invest time in making and creating. And if you are an actor that would like to get involved in that kind of thing, please do ping a message. The pay is really poor, probably won't even cover some of your travel expenses, depending on where you're coming from. And just to talk a short bit about the preparation for that role, I read it many times. I experimented with different types of accent, and because the clues for me in the text were like Murren and just how it was written, just there were a couple of different types of things that just lured me into wanting to do it in one of my favourite accents, Scottish accent. And so I kind of did almost naturally jump into that. I did try it as Brummie, but I didn't want to take Brummie to Birmingham because that would have really got me booed off. But not that there were anybody in the audience, I think, from when David asked, how am ya? I don't think we got much of a response. So, I think it wasn't really many people there from Birmingham itself, which is a shame. So come on, Birmingham folks, come next time. But yeah, essentially, it was a wonderful lot of chaos. And I really enjoyed working with you, Fiona, and I feel like it's really lovely to have that rapport when you can connect with a line of someone you're talking to, rather than talking to the top of a duvet, the edges of a foam surround of my microphone and all the centre of my mic. So I just adored it, and I wish I could do it a lot more often. So if you've got an event we could come and do live stuff at, ping me, quirkyvoices@gmail.com. The Foley side of that script was beautifully anarchic, where the gentleman had to be creating, whilst I'm talking to Fiona's character about how this other person is absolutely potentially in love with them and what she should potentially think about. Yes. They are clanging baking trays and cooling racks and with wooden spoons and chains and creating gentle chaos of this particular airship slowly falling to pieces, yes, breaking up in the air. So
yes, we basically took what was quite a sensitive, lovely piece of romantic kind of writing and just basically filled it with explosions and foley.
Yes, of which, again, yes, there were screamers at the back. Those folks who gave us those gentle panic and mild screams, or mild, yes, screams and gentle panic. I bow to you in a humouring way, and to say that was awesome and fun. And I can't wait to hear how it all turns out. The wonderful Chris Malaram, however you say your name. Yeah, so sorry, that's so rude. I just wish I knew. There's lots of W's and M's. It gets very confusing, doesn't it? Not quite sure what to say next.
Chris, you're brilliant. Yeah, thank you for doing that, for mixing it.
Yes.
And where can people find that? That's from Quirky Voices Presents, I think.
It is. Well, as soon as it can possibly be ready to ping out, we will, as a standalone piece of groovy of the two scripts and the wraparound madness. You can find it on quirkyvoicespresents.budsprout.com. So yes, have
excellent
a little look. And there's lots of other fun things for you to browse and have a look on there.
Yes, do. Especially if you're an aspiring voice actor. There is a lot on there which goes right from the thing I'd never thought of doing, which is an actual plan of what you're doing as a career, and all sorts of a 5-year plan. So it's very, very well thought out. And also all of the techniques, of voice acting with interviews with lots and lots of people who are doing brilliantly in the field. So do listen to that. It's wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah, I love talking to audio drama people, and yeah. I just wish I could fit more in. I think I've just released this week one with Sarah Ray Werner, which was really good fun to do, about you lot looking after yourselves, you actors, mm-hmm. and just strategies to think about treating yourself a bit kinder. Mm. And next week's, or after this, in fact, this surprise, Madiba, will be with John Osborne Hughes on the spiritual side of voice acting, or acting in general. And we do a little bit of meditation too. So you can center yourself before becoming whoever it is you're going to be.
Wonderful.
Today.
That's cool. That's very useful.
And I got to highlight Birdie being one of the highlights. I think favorite, basically, Betty was introducing acts and telling folks what was on next and where to go and how to get there and what to do and generally how to live your life in a better way. And the best bit was just turning around, and obviously there was introduction to something horror-wise, and her and David Alt basically had a mini horror moment of altercation, which will forever stick in my mind. So thanks for that. Yeah, so there's loads of things to really enjoy about it, but it's the people that made it the bestest. So I'm kind of sad I didn't get to speak to everyone I wanted to speak to. Still quite a lot of people there who I thought, oh, I'll speak to them later, and I never got to do it. So hopefully we'll meet up at another event. And talking of other events, please keep an eye out for the UK audio fiction meetups, which happen once a month, normally the third to last, I think it is, Friday or Thursday of every month, depending on what's happening in the audio fiction world, at the Jugged Hair pub near Victoria. It's a groovy meetup, so don't be shy, come along and say hello. I can't make everyone, neither can everyone make everyone, but you know, people do rock up, so come say hi in London. Keep an eye on the audio drama Facebook group for that. And I've just noticed there's a new hashtag for those folks who want to embrace some more British audio fiction. It's hashtag UK audio fiction. Does what it says on the tin. Follow them. They're very proactive and lovely. And so I've no doubt they will be hugely popular with you all, because they care and they are pinging out things that show they are listeners and creatives that care, which is kind of, you know, what everyone should be about. I have to do a shout out now to the Pulse Awards for my current grant I have going on for Anyone for Coffee. It's a women's health podcast coming out in April, celebrating women and the daily battles. I have some pals who are jumping on board with me who suffer from a variety of life-altering things for mental and physical reasons. And as a result of getting this funding, I need to be able to quantify this funding in my project. So I've attached a questionnaire to my show notes. I would hugely appreciate, please, if you listen to this, just ping on that and answer. I think there's 16 questions, are very easy, like multiple choice questions. Shouldn't take you more than 5 minutes, if that. So if you wouldn't mind, have a little look at that. And it also helps out the other podcasts, as you may well know. There's Family Tree Pod with Dave Pickering and Gay and Non-Gay, wonderful folks. Oh, God, there's loads of folks. Just have a look down the beauteous list of people who are lucky enough to also get a grant to make a podcast that will hopefully invest some more of your time in thinking about the science of this wonderful world we live in. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting that out. Woo-woo! So what would you suggest that people, if they weren't sure about making an effort to come to Birmingham, beautiful as it was, don't know what accent that was, what would you say? Would you recommend it?
Oh, goodness, yes. I mean, it's recommendable on so many levels. If you can possibly afford it, what we did actually was book massively in advance. They do release the date, if they do another one, I hope. Jess and the team released the date, I think with about 9 months to go. So I knew that I really wanted to go because I'd been to the last one, and I thought, yeah. So you can actually book an early bird ticket that early in advance. I've booked train tickets in advance before that have been incredibly cheaper, like a third of the price.
Same. I got up from where I live to Birmingham, which is in Buckinghamshire, to Birmingham for £5 there and a £5, £10. Yep. That's amazing. And Travel Lodge as well, got that for, under 40 quid for a night, which is wonderful.
Yeah, exactly. So, and so if you book it that far in advance, there's a Travelodge and various other places that are quite close because the Millennium Centre is right bang in the middle of the city.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, it's if you can afford it and you can access it, it is just superb. And I believe it does have good disabled access within the building itself if you need that. And it's a very large open space. And there are lots of places you can go outside if you find crowds. You know, it doesn't feel crowded because where there were more than 300 people, it is such a big area. And there are little places that you can go off and hide in if you need to kind of recharge and come back.
Yes. And yeah, there was a lovely diverse programme to this year. And I think it's great for introducing you to stars on podcasts that maybe you hadn't thought of. And I have since listened to your podcasts and some of the other shows like Flintlocks and Fireballs, which I hadn't actually listened to before because I haven't made time for that style of podcast in my world yet because it's so flooded with wonderful other ways of storytelling. But yeah, I think to introduce you to new things and, for example, the podcast. Podcasters Promenade to connect with people who are making and creating some wonderful stuff. It's just the best fun. And you know what it's like when you're surrounded by people who like things you do. It's going to be a cool day. Yeah. And yes, of course, your anxieties do kick in now and then. And there's loads of folks who have no idea who you are or what you do. And when you find out who they are and what they do, there's some exciting connections. It was lovely meeting Gamma Radio folks who I'd spoken to Rob a long time ago on the phone when I think they were just starting out with their audio adventures. So yeah, it's so fab to connect with folks that you might have worked with or know of or have heard on various
things. And I believe
things.
Gamma Radio, that was the gentleman that I bumped into and said, oh, what do you do? And he had a massive Gamma Radio t-shirt on. Oh, okay. But, yes, in huge letters. So yes, apologies. But it is wonderful when you meet people and you suddenly realise that, oh my goodness, I've actually listened to your show. I love it. And so then it's very nice because you will have things in common with them, probably.
Yes, yes, yes.
Just in terms of sort of similar, you know, if you enjoy their show, then presumably you have similar tastes in different kind of shows and or the way they make podcasts. So yeah, lots to talk about.
Yeah. No, it was really interesting to see, you know, the different types of merch. I was talking to the Hawk and Cleaver fellows who sell quite a lot of books at their conventions and things they go to too, as well as doing what they do. So yeah, it was really interesting to just fathom what other folks do for there. And kudos to Karim Cromfley for organising the after show shindig in a pub. I think we might need to find somewhere bigger next year. Seems there's more and more people all the time, which is obviously wonderful. And it was grand to actually, yeah, properly chat to people who I hadn't yet got to in the day in that lovely scenario situation, whatever the word is that means that we were there. So yeah. Cool. So yes, parting words of wisdom, Fiona, what would they be?
Oh, goodness. Do you want wisdom?
Yeah, go for it.
Well, no, I can just give enthusiasm if that's okay. No, I would thank you so much to everybody behind it. It really was really inspiring. And, you know, a lot of this can be quite, you know, isolating sometimes, you know, when you're sitting there with your headphones on mixing and whatever. And it's really nice to get out and about and be sociable, really, with people who you wouldn't otherwise see geographically.
Yeah, totally agree. And we just connected on the Friday night, just went in and did a little recce to see where our photo props and stuff would go. Mm. And I think we have to say huge thanks as well as Chris's team to JP and Kieran, who were busy working behind the scenes and made all the different panel rooms and the rooms run smoothly and beautifully and solved like superheroes any little issues that arose. So hooray.
and also who was there on that occasion and who's just been a real stalwart and brilliant person sort of helping the community is James Curtis.
Yes. legend, who should be in all of your audio dramas too, because after a short chat in the pub after a couple of beers, we fathomed what a great actor he is. So jump in, James, and audition. Grab him before he's hot. While he's hot, I mean, sorry.
And thanks ever so much to Robert Crichton for coming on as our wonderful sailor in that, Sailor Reynolds.
Huzzah!
Superb.
Beautifully done.
Yes.
And kept the hat for his personal use, which is wonderful to know.
He can be jaunty anytime. Lovely.
Indeed.
And so thank you in that process of choosing those scripts to the brilliant scriptwriting judges. That was Jess Anson, Nathan Blades, Nicholas McKinney, Ella Watts, and us.
Yay! No, I couldn't have done that without you folks. And I think the banter and the decision making was really eloquently and adroitly dealt.
And thank you to all the scripts that didn't make it, to all the writers who bothered to write and send in.
Yes.
And please do not let that stop you from writing. We were only able to choose two. So please continue and
100%.
Hopefully. Yeah. And put on your own if you've got the bug now.
Well, I must say I did contact Emily C. Snyder and David Ault to see if they wouldn't mind the quirky treatment being applied, not as a live show, but as a recorded piece to their script. So they'll be coming out at some point this year. And me and David are going to be in his own script, which is very exciting. I'm very excited that at least two more can be put out into the world. So thank you hugely to Jess and team. I hope you've had a good week of rest at least before you start planning next year's, right? Come on, get on with it.
Yes.
But yes, and thank you, pal, for being amazing. We had some wonderful chats and put the world to rights and had a wonderful time. And we just love storytelling, don't we? So it was fabulous to have the forum to share some new writing in amongst,
really,
I know, hotly contested places to perform. So we were really grateful to have that opportunity to share those with such a wonderful team. To next year then. Yes, should we start saving
Hooray!
Now?
Lovely. Do come along. Yes.
Do it. Okay. Cheers then. Bye bye.
Cheers. Bye bye.
Wait. I'm sorry. We can't end this without a glorious song of happiness about Pod UK. I apologise for what you're about to hear. Oh, Pod UK. It made my day. When I strolled along your table promenade, thanks to yes, Brett Chris, who most folks should kiss you gently for your organizational charade. The live show's panels were uplifting, as was badges and promo shifting. Birdies introducing was hilarious. Hi. Oh, I had a lovely time at Pod UK, because the people there were lovely in every way. And I was seemingly delighted, dashingly quirky audience shouted, sounds of gentle panic and mild screams in peril. Merrily, conversations forged new friendship, got some bold new knowledge too. Folks felt so encouraged verily. Well, I did, as about you? There wasn't any lettuce present, but we bashed at oven trays, whilst full embracing all our scripts of LGBTQ plus tales of gay. At Pod UK. At Pod UK, we embrace the gay, embrace the gay. At Pod UK, we produce some dashingly quirky refund audio play. Oh my god.
So thanks to Pod UK and Jess Pod UK for embracing all the things they did that day. Oh yeah, I had a lovely day at Pod UK. The people here were lovely in every way.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Brett. And thanks, Jess, for inviting us along. And, well, to all the attendees and audiences, you're a legend. Thank you very much.
The people here were lovely.